It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Veterans Day, 11-11-11-11-11 on the 11th day of 11th hour, 11th day, 11-11-11. Thank you so much to our veterans.
I didn't even realize it was 11-11, but I never know what day it is. I never know what date it is. I don't even know what year it is right now, but it's good to know. Isn't that supposed to be good luck, 11-11?
Kabbalah, I don't know what all that is. Yeah, everything like that.
But whatever it is, I'm down with it.
You're a University of Miami graduate. You've read All Quiet on the Western Front, correct?
I did. I actually read it in high school, not college.
Great book,
but I did read it. I think that might have been one of those situations, though, where I kind of skimmed the book and watched the movie and hoped that the movie was close enough that I could pass my the test or whatever I had the book report on it. Because I do recall watching the movie as well.
Black and white?
Yeah.
Great movie.
I think it was black and white. Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, at the end of the 11th hour, the 11th day, 11th hour, the 11th, 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 and unfortunately, spoiler alert, the book's been out for 100 years. The guy gets shot literally like right when they're signing the armistice at the end of the book.
Yeah, terrible. And I don't know how it was in the book, but in the movie, he was like sketching a bird.
Yeah, he's like reaching for a butterfly.
He seemed to forget they were at war. He puts his head out of the trench and... boom. Sorry for the spoiler.
Not to be too negative, though. We want to be a little more positive. If you are I wouldn't even say a sports fan here in South Florida. If you're just living here in South Florida, and I understand not everybody was born and raised here. We do have a lot of people that have come and gone and everything. You were talking about, let's pack Hard Rock Stadium for the Hurricanes game. This is something that's very special. Sports-wise, definitely, but culturally, I do implore you to go out to this final, what maybe not the final Hurricanes home game of the season, because there are possibility of the playoffs and getting a home game because you could be a top four seed.
Yeah, if we're a top four seed, we'd have the bye week and then the Peach Bowl, so we wouldn't get a home game. More than likely, this is the last
even
home game
more
of the year.
Reason because the Hurricanes are going to win out these last two games and they're going to get the Peach Bowl. Oh, Atlanta, I got to go. Man, give us a better. Okay, nonetheless. Okay, if you're a sports fan, you're probably listening to the station. Maybe you're casual or you're in the car with a sports fan. Do yourself a favor and go to this final regular season Hurricanes game. And I'm going to employ you for a lot of reasons because, number one, you get a great product. Mario Cristobal, Donna, you have to admit, has done a great job. And a lot of people say this, and I do believe this now. He built the team from the inside out. You've got good lines. You've got quality players. You've got good teams that kind of, Georgia Tech, dominate the ball. They play the right way. They're fun to watch. They're good to enjoy. You got Cam Ward, who... you're lucky to see him once in a lifetime. If not, he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. He might not win it this year. Nonetheless, he's exciting. He's fun. And then I'm going to get into the other stuff that you do. You probably have someone that you know that has a tailgate and that's fun. It's an experience. It's fun. It's great. And if you haven't been to a game this year, it's your one chance to go out there and enjoy it and also support your team, whether you have kids, whether or not. It's fun. It's great. But at the same time, you're kind of promoting the team and these great college athletes. And I understand there's NILs now, so they're not these poor college kids anymore. But most of them are. Because you got Cam Ward and LSU Livy Dunn and all those people that make millions. But most of these guys and girls are just out there doing it because they love it. Go out there and experience. Go experience it. This is your chance to experience the game. And I hate people like, oh, I'm just going to go to the beach and sit there and do that. It's like, go out there and enjoy. This is something, like I said, it's an enjoyable experience. And you're also supporting a great team. And you're also supporting your culture. And you're supporting your city. And if you're the type of person that says, you know what? Why are you here? I don't know. I don't understand. Go out there. Wake Forest. It's going to be a great game. And it's a great experience. And Dono, you've been out there for all the games. You know, you can explain how great of an experience it is. And maybe your screen has frozen and maybe you've gone off because you look like you're dead.
Hey!
There you are.
Am I here?
You're good. You're great.
Am I here?
Explain to people that haven't gone to a game how great of an experience it actually is.
Yeah.
Whether you're a huge sports fan, a casual sports fan, or just someone that likes to experience things.
Well, and to add to what you're saying, it's also, you know, your chance to watch, if you haven't been to a game yet, watch Cam Ward for the first time and the last time in a Miami uniform, unless you travel. And did I lose myself again here?
You're good. You're good.
I think I may have.
No, you're great.
Did I go off again?
No, you're great.
Okay, I'm good. Okay, good. And it's also support Xavier Restrepo, who's become the all-time leading Miami Hurricanes receiver. All-time in career receptions, all-time in career touchdowns, all-time in career receiving yards, because this is his last ride as well. He's out of eligibility after this season. He's going to go on to the NFL, and it's going to be a steal of a draft pick for somebody. So support these guys because it's going to be senior day, Dan, coming up. And obviously, not everybody's a senior. You know, Damian Martinez is a junior, but he's probably going to be off to the NFL. You know, support a lot of these players for the last time for this Wake Forest game. I can't wait to be out there.
I want to talk about that. We're going to come back from break. Receivers in South Florida. Some guys like Xavier Restrepo. Muy bueno. Other guys.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Free Odyssey app. Download it today and make us your favorite station. Same great shows, same great games. Plus, you can use the rewind feature and listen to anything you missed. Hurry!
Joe Rose Show on a Veterans Day. Many thanks to our veterans. Appreciate them so very much. I've been appreciative of some of the receivers here in South Florida. Some have been good. I'll be honest. Dono, some of them have been bad. Let's talk about the good first. We were talking about Xavier Restrepo for the Miami Hurricanes in the last segment. Unbelievable. You got to give a guy like him so much credit. Year after year after year, he has been unbelievable for the Miami Hurricanes through different coaches, different quarterbacks. He's gone through different, labels because he's been the same great receiver that he's always been, but started off as a good story. As a possession receiver, as the next Braxton Berrios, to now a record holder. And Mario Cristobal comes on this show, the Joe Rose Show on Mondays, and sings his praises and says, stop saying he's just a possession receiver or a good slot receiver or a slow receiver. He is fast. He is good. It's not just that he runs the routes the right way. He is going to make a professional team in the NFL next year. Very happy that they drafted him. You got to give respect to a guy like Xavier Restrepo. How much has he meant not only for the production for this Miami Hurricanes team, especially this year, but just for the overall organization in an era where guys come and go as they please in different college teams? And I don't blame people for transferring and doing what they want to do, but for staying here, staying the course, going through all he's been through with all the changes, and just believing in what he does, no matter what people say. What has he meant for this team this year and for what he's done and for who he is?
Well, he's a quarterback's best friend, first and foremost.
We saw that in the Florida game. Cam Ward comes in, transfers. You're like, ooh, who's this new guy going to be? Maybe it's not Xavier Restrepo. Immediately, you could tell. When things get tough, whoop, Xavier Restrepo.
And I knew it would be X again because I watched as many practices as I was able to watch, you know, spring ball, fall camp, and the Ward to Restrepo connection, that was there out of the gates. Like, that was there from day one. And so, yeah, Restrepo, he is just such an intelligent and effective route runner. He's quick. He's faster than he looks. And, like, you talk about the whole possession receiver label, like, he scored multiple long touchdowns this year, had a 66 yarder against Duke, had a 38 yarder, part of Miami's comeback bid that ultimately did not go their way against Georgia Tech.
You saw Georgia Tech not try to get burnt, and he burnt everybody on that defense.
Yeah, and then obviously what he does on the field, it is made possible by what he does off the field. Because, like, again, like he doesn't look like the most athletic guy on the field. He's got more God-given talent than I think people give him credit for.
Absolutely.
But so much of what he does, Dan, is about hard work. And I don't think, you know, it's been a long time, maybe since Braxton Berrios, but he probably works even harder than Berrios did. Have I seen a guy who works that hard from the film study to the private workouts, to the way he takes every practice seriously? And you mentioned the other part, and he sets an example for his teammates with how hard he works. And then the other part of it is sticking around with Miami, putting himself in position to break the records that he's broken. Because, listen, a lot of people were wondering. I didn't have too many doubts about it. But, you know, after last year, like when Tyler Van Dyke left, people were saying, hey, he's got this great, you know, friendship on and off the field with Van Dyke. Is he going to follow Van Dyke to Wisconsin? I'm sure he could have done that if he wanted to. I'm sure Wisconsin would have been more than happy to bring Xavier Restrepo aboard. But, you know, to him, like, the team was more important. And I think his Miami legacy, I know that's not why he plays. Like, he plays because he wants to win games and win championships. But had he left Miami, he would not have been in the position to become Miami Hurricanes' all-time leading receiver career in multiple different categories. And you think about some of the great ones that have played here, the guys he's been passing on these lists, like, you know, he's passed guys like Santana Moss, Michael Irvin, Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson en route to becoming the most prolific Hurricanes receiver of all time. It's not like this program had a bunch of stiffs playing receiver over the years. Like, he's passed some of the greatest receivers of all time. You can now never take X's name out of those history books.
Yeah, he's not doing it, not to take away from Southeast Missouri State. He's not going out at Southeast Missouri State and making a name for himself like that. And this is the other thing we say about Xavier Restrepo over and over again. He's not that fast, yet he seems to be faster than everybody else on the field. He's not that good, but yet he seems to be better than all the other receivers. No matter who the coach or the quarterback is, he always seems to be so productive. And now we're going to say his next step is going to be, well, you know, he's a good story, but he's not going to be a good pro player. And I think you're wrong. I think someone's going to draft him, take a quote-unquote chance on him, and we're going to see over the years, like, wow, that Xavier Restrepo is somebody. And Mario Cristobal said it over and over and over again, and I don't think he's just beating the drum for his own guy. He's like, people are going to find out that this guy is really special.
Yeah, like I've seen, obviously, when you're evaluating draft prospects, it's kind of like the stock market, like stock goes up, down, all around. But, you know, within the last month or two, I've talked to some analysts, and they seem to think that he might, you know, that his upside might be even second round of the draft this year. I mean, obviously, like, he's not going to get taken in the first round just because of the size and the stature and all that. But he might be a second-round pick, and I'm rooting for that to happen. I would love it for X.
I would say if you're the Miami Dolphins especially, or any team, as a New Orleans Saints guy, your late third round or any time in the fourth round, and he's available, get him. Get him. Because you don't think any quarterback in this league would like a guy like him who does everything right, and is, I'm guessing, a little more athletic than people want to give him credit for, which to his benefit, because I'm thinking a lot of teams overlook him and say, oh, yeah, he's not going to burn us. And yet he just burns everybody, and he's done it for years. That's the other thing. There's tape out on him, and he's proven game after game, year after year, quarterback after quarterback, coach after coach, that he can get it done.
Well, I mean, if Chris Greer is in the position to draft him, he's going to find some defensive end somewhere with like two collegiate sacks in 4 years, and that's the route we're going to go.
Speaking of the Dolphins, let's talk about how their receivers, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, get the money. Tyreek Hill, and I understand Tua, he's had his issues this year, hadn't played some of the games. We've had fourth, fifth, I know they're not, but you know what I'm saying. Practice squad quarterbacks throwing them the balls. But, man, have they underperformed. And Jaylen Waddle, it's hard to say, is it his fault? He didn't get targeted until the last 2 minutes of the game last week.
Yeah.
So how much do you put on them, and how much do you – I mean, let's be honest. How much do you put on the coaching staff?
You got to put some on Waddle, right? I mean –
Yeah,
you have to, but again, like you're right. Like he doesn't control the targets, right? I mean, is he getting open enough? I mean, I think we can all agree based on the career trajectory that he started. I mean, from his rookie season, he sets the Dolphins single season rookie receptions record. He's been overall very good player here, but I got to think the blame has to go around because Jaylen Waddle didn't just suddenly become a non-factor. Like, he didn't do that by himself, right? I mean, you got to put something on the coaching staff. And, you know, during the games that Tua missed, he and Hill just weren't getting targeted at all, unfortunately. But I've got to think that a lot of this is on McDaniel.
Yeah, and Donna, we oversimplify things, especially as fans. And I'm not going to get into Tua's potato chip thing. We oversimplify things as fans, but there's And don't forget, there was a game where Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, two of the highest paid, not to mention some of the best weapons, didn't get a target in the first half of a game.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point, as a coach, first of all, the first 15 plays are scripted. They're not scripted. Once again, backup quarterbacks understand. There's not a point where Tyreek or Jaylen Waddle go up to the coach, the quarterback, anything and say, I don't care if I'm triple covered. Throw me the ball, which Keyshawn Johnson said.
That's what Restrepo does. I mean, Restrepo has told Cam Ward, hey, if you can see me on the field, I'm going to catch it. Just find me.
And I mean, there's not I'm not asking you, once again, oversimplifying thing. Mike McDaniel. Tyreek Hill, quote-unquote, the fastest man in the world. He wants to race Lyle, what's his name? His name's escaping me. He won the 100 meters.
His Noah name's Lyles. Escaping me as well. Oh, yes.
Okay, you know what? Fly route. Go. Mano y mano. Yeah. Let me go. I'm just going to run. Just throw it as far as you can. And sometimes they have done that this year, and it's been really bad. But nonetheless, just throw me the ball. Throw me the ball. Get it to me. What, you know, I don't understand that. And once again, I want to oversimplify things too. If you think Mike McDaniel's clock management has been even average this year, it's been terrible. And last game, lining up Tyler Bass for a 61-yard field goal outside. You got a timeout left. You don't ice the kicker.
Yeah, how do you not do that?
After the game, Mike McDaniel comes out and goes, well, I was, you know, in this league, you're always thinking about the next play. And I was thinking about if he missed it, we'd be on the 49-yard line and what offensive play we're going to run. And it kind of just got away from me. Once again, I want to oversimplify things. Water boy, equipment manager, assistant coach. Yo, Mike, you want to call a timeout? You want to ice the kicker? I mean, you can be indescript about it, too. You don't have to say run up to him. Just, hey, are we calling a timeout here? Or as a player, hey, coach, we should probably call it. Am I oversimplifying it?
Well, it's crazy to me because Mike McDaniel, like, he's an intellectual, analytics-based guy. It's puzzling to me how bad he is at the stuff that he should be really, really good at, right? Like, that's where he should excel is timeout management, clock management. Like, you would think that would be his forte.
Let me give kudos where kudos are due. Mario Cristobal, whether or not whatever happened at Georgia Tech last year, I don't know exactly what happened.
Last week.
Well, last week, but I'm talking about last year.
Last week wasn't good either. Yeah. Last year and last week.
But he went and said, you know what? If we have the resources, let's go get a clock management coach. And people... Yeah. Crucified him. And I said, what's the big deal? If you have the resources and you feel as though it's something maybe you're deficient at or that people think you're deficient at, go out there and get it. And for the most part this year, the clock management for the Canes has been good. There's nothing wrong with getting help. That's the thing in this society. Nope. And I think we've become more aware of that. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to realize you're not perfect at things. I give Mario Cristobal credit. He went out and got somebody in one way, shape, or form that their job is to manage the clock. Just, am I just don't understand. am I oversimplifying things? And I do understand the game gets get away from you. And that's what I give Mario Cristobal credit. I got a coach now. You know what? Yeah. I can more than manage the clock. I have college degrees. I've been coaching forever. But you know what? It's okay to ask for help. And if you have the resources, do it. I just don't understand how, as a player and on the sideline, you can't just go, we're going to call it timeout or this. Like, it's a, why is it not happening?
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, for the most part this year, Cristobal and the Hurricanes have been a lot better with that management stuff. There were a lot of things I was disappointed in, though, on Saturday. And it wasn't as much the clock, although there was a weird thing with the timeouts at the end of the game where it was the two-minute warning, which is a free timeout, mm-hmm. had already happened, and then they call a timeout after that when the clock was already set. I think it was because they thought that I think Cristobal looked like he thought Georgia Tech was going to fake the punt. So he was like, I better, you know, get a different look on my special teams. I think that's what that was. But what really annoyed me was it's like sometimes you just have to take the points. Miami had a couple situations, fourth downs in or near the Georgia Tech red zone. I get it. You get aggressive and then they're not even calling the right plays on these fourth downs, but they're missing the fourth downs. It's like you've got one of the best kickers in the country. And, you know, you left 6 points off the board by not kicking field goals. You lose the game by five. Like, I have a lot of regrets about that.
Call me old-fashioned, and I'm all about innovation and new stuff, but I am of the school of take the points as long as you can get them until you need more. Take the
right,
seven,
exactly. Like, take the points unless you literally need, like, if it's a must-get fourth down, I get it. It's a must-get two-point conversion, I get it. If it's not, take the points.
That's the thing, and it's come to bite. Time in and time out, it's come to bite people in the you-know-what. Dan Campbell last year in the NFC Championship game. But I see it all the time. They're going for two at the beginning of the third quarter because the points, it makes sense. And then they don't get it, and they lose by one. And I go, in so many games, you go back and you look like, if they'd have just kicked field goals in the third quarter, or they would have not gone for two and taken the extra point in the third quarter, they would have won the game. I just believe in getting as many points, amass as many points as you can, and then, yes, of course, at the end of the game, if you need a two-point conversion or you need to go for the touchdown, you go for it. I understand, and Mike McDaniel's kind of learned, you know, you can't always go for it on fourth down because it burned him with Tua, without Tua. I don't get that. I don't like it, and call me a stick in the mud. I don't like it. It's not good. But another thing,
when you're playing Madden or EA College Football, you ever punt? Like, some people never punt. I punt all the time. Like, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
It's real easy when nothing's on the line to go for it, you know. But when it's real, you know. But another thing, Tyreek Hill, go to Mike McDaniel. Throw me the ball. They don't throw you the ball. I hate to say this, but Tyreek Hill, you have enough stature to go to Snoop Huntley or Tim Boyle and go, you know what? Audible out and throw me the ball. It'll get me cut. Oh, you think me being unhappy with you isn't going to get you cut? Get the hell out of here. Mike McDaniel, draw up some plays. Earn your keep. That Jaylen Waddle wasn't targeted. No catches.
Yeah.
Wasn't targeted. Now, granted, he caught a pass, and he also caught a touchdown. He's also dropped some passes this year. I don't want to let him skate.
Yeah, exactly.
But zero targets? Zero targets until the last 2 minutes of the game. Something's wrong. And, I mean, everyone deserves blame, but you know what? Give him the ball. Give him the ball. You think Jimmy Butler, actually, he's kind of been like that this year. I guess that's not a good example. He hasn't shot the ball that much. There's been, but I mean, like, you think Michael Jordan, hadn't been a chance to shoot.
Kobe?
Yeah, you think
Mamba?
Hadn't been a chance to shoot. You know, Allen Iverson? It's just not the right spot, man. I'll wait for my opportunity. No. And, you know, I bring this up, and once again, God, man, I'm giving Nick Saban way too much more credit than he's due. Always asked, you know, in big moments, what do? He goes, I don't call plays, I call players.
Yes, I love that.
Stop calling plays. Call players. I want Tyreek. I want Jaylen Waddle. I mean, Devon Achane's a great player. He's the best player on our team this year. But your players. Stop calling these stupid plays with a flip pass to Jonnu Smith. get it to our guys. That's
What's the situation? Because I know that obviously, I guess it's a company holiday here, which is why, you know, Hollywood's out. But my kids got school today, so like, are people working, not working? Your kids in school or not? I don't know. I feel like we should all be off on Veterans Day. I mean, not you and me, because we're talking sports. This is not real work.
No.
But I feel like all the people who do actual real work out there. And all the kids, I feel, should be off today.
I feel as though I'm a stick in the mud, too. Back when we were kids, Dono, holidays were holidays. Nobody worked. Nowadays, you never know. Holidays, you know, depending. Nonetheless, I don't want to be too much of a stick in the mud. I also don't want to pile on too much, but kind of a rough time right now if you're a South Florida sports fan. The Dolphins season so far has not gone the way you've expected it. Although that can change tonight. I'm staying optimistic. This is the last week, though. I've said this for the past 4 weeks. This is the last week, and I'm optimistic. If we lose, it's over. But if we win tonight, schedule.
It's on.
Hurricanes lose. They're having a great season, but they lose to Georgia Tech. God, 2 years in a row. That one stings. One that should really sting, and maybe it doesn't sting South Florida fans as much. Pretty monumental loss this past weekend by Inter-Miami.
I was shocked.
Put it all together.
They had the one goal that was overruled for offside, which like really, really hurts. If that could have counted, man.
Let's put it into perspective, Dono. First of all, if you're not saying it's a monumental loss, of course, Atlanta United has given. If there's one team that it's a bad matchup, the one bad team this year that's given.
Well, but they think about, we keep losing to teams from Atlanta. Georgia Tech beats Miami. Atlanta United beats Inter Miami. Like, Atlanta is our daddy today.
It's like the way we own Boston. We beat every Boston team all the time, except we're in the playoffs and the Heat. You know, nonetheless. But like for the most part, we whoop up on Boston teams. And I mean, they all want to live here, and they all want to be here, and they all want to move here. Okay, I'm not getting into all that. And Atlanta United, during the regular season, they got a couple of wins against Inter-Miami inexplicably.
Yeah.
So it was a bad matchup, and I was like, man, anybody but Inter-Miami in the first round. I mean, anybody but Atlanta United in the first round, and sure enough, we got them. But I was like, you know what? Let me explain further. I'm looking at Kristen Chenoweth on TV, by the way. Fantastic, by the way. She's
still looking good,
like
huh?
A fine wine, nonetheless. You know, I get distracted very easily sometimes.
I know you do.
Oh, man. Remember that time we had Shakira that was doing.
Whoa. Why is she on TV? What's she promoting?
She's in The Wicked with another Ariana Grande, South Florida Zone.
Okay. Oh,
I know. Ariana Grande. I mean, come on.
You got to turn that TV off, Dan. We got a show to do.
I'm putting a pillar. There's like a pillar that's blocking the view. But to just put it into perspective, if you're not a big Inter-Miami fan, and I understand if you're not, they're a newer team here in South Florida. Some people aren't the biggest soccer heads, although it is probably the fastest growing, most up-and-coming sport in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
We got the World Cup coming. We have CONMEBOL. That was a little bit of a mess, but nonetheless.
It always is.
I mean, international soccer, or national, or whatever. Just let me put it into perspective how much of a monumental, and I'm not going to let Inter-Miami skate on this one. You had the by far best season, regular season in MLS play ever. You're the points leader of all time. Lionel Messi missed games due to injury and international duty, as they say, and you still won.
Yeah.
You have got four generational players, including Lionel Messi, who could be the greatest player of all time. I don't agree with that.
I think he is. I think he's the greatest player. Okay, if not Messi, do you go with Pele or do you go with that fraud Cristiano?
What about Maradona?
Yeah, Maradona was awesome.
Diego Maradona.
And you know what? If Maradona had like one less demon, because he had so many demons.
See, that's why I think he's the greatest.
There would be no debate. Like this dude was like. Yeah, he was all the extracurriculars he would do like the day before, sometimes probably the day of the game. During... And he was still one of the greatest ever. So I might be with you on
that. Well, I'm taking into account everything. He was a legend in many of games, but he even said doing coke and drinking beer the night before a game, that's what you do. I was like, okay.
Yeah, and when he was in Naples, he was involved with the mafia there. It was
unapologetic.
A bad scene.
Unapologetic. Well, he's Argentinian, so you know. But nonetheless, okay, so if he's not the greatest player of all time, no argument, top three of all time, and I mean three is even kind of being that. Legendary, greatest player of all time, and then three other generational players, Luis Suarez, Uruguayan, no one would argue, one of the greatest of all time. And then you got Jordi Alba and Sergio Busquets, who also some of the greatest of all time. Maybe they're not as flashy or they don't play as... You got Tata Martino, who, whether you like him or not, he's won an MLS Cup with Atlanta United before. He's coached the Mexican national team. He's coached Argentina national team. He's coached Barcelona. Nonetheless, you've got a team that they put a lot of money into. Like I said, best regular season ever in MLS. And four guys, even five, you got Tata Martino, that have been part of the pressure. They've won Champions League. And if you don't know, that's basically the highest of the highs. They've won World Cups. Messi's won a World Cup. They've won all types of cups. They've won everything. Everything. And by the way, if you're saying, oh, Messi, what does he care? He's also got part ownership of the team, so he definitely does have a part of it. And
he cares.
Yeah, he cares a little bit. To go in after that and play Atlanta United and win the first game, best of three, and then lose the next two is terrible. And for everyone, and I heard it all the time, MLS sucks. These guys, they show up, they get off their couch, they roll out of bed, and they beat the hell out of everybody. Now that we've lost, it's, oh, well, they didn't care. Oh, they cared.
Yeah, the goalposts are always moving, right?
But to say that, okay, well, no, you know, they don't even have to care, and they're better than everybody else. But then when they lose, oh, well, they didn't care. Messi has a lot on the line to care. Because
you don't reach the level that he reached in his life where, listen, like he grew up probably the most talented player of all time. He's very small. He doesn't fit the physical profile that greats of all time usually. Ironically, Maradona, not very big either. But like Cristiano Ronaldo, the guy's like a giant.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, Messi was kind of an underdog to start his life. You know, becomes arguably the greatest player of all time. And like you said, he's won everything. He's won Champions League. He won a World Cup. This guy didn't want to just come here for a vacation. That's not the way he's wired.
He owns part of the team.
He owns part of the team. He didn't come here for a vacation. Like he's not Gonzalo Higuain. He didn't come here for a vacation.
No.
He came here to actually keep his legacy and keep winning championships. So I agree with you on that.
He had a lot. He's got the whole Apple TV, and I know you can get Apple TV for free for the rest of the MLS Plus, but he's got the Adidas. He's got the Apple TV. Yeah. Directly, their success goes directly to his bank account to say, absolutely, oh, no, he didn't. He just didn't care. That's wrong. They got outplayed. Yeah, they got beat. And these guys,
that's not in Messi's DNA. He cares.
And these guys love this team. You could see, and you see it, Suarez and Alba, they have their kids out on the field afterwards. They care. I think the thing is, we have to stop saying MLS sucks. It's just a no. It's competitive. And soccer, it is about matchups. And Dono, you know it better than anybody else. You're a big Inter Milan fan out there in Serie A. Anybody can beat any. Where any time, any place, but to lose a three-game series, with those four, five, whatever guys, that's not excusable.
I mean, listen, it showed Atlanta United was the better team in that three-game series. I'm just disappointed because, like you talk about, the superstars that are here. All the investment, like I give so much credit to, you know, Jorge Mas, all the investment that came into, you know, building the best MLS roster of all time and still coming up short in the playoffs. It sucks. Mm. It really sucks. And it's a regret because obviously, you know, Messi's window, he's not going to be playing forever. Right? He's in his mid, late 30s. He's not going
to
be playing.
He'll make it to the next World Cup. I'm going to go out on the limb and say that.
Probably how many times after like the past two World Cups, he was supposedly retired from international competition. But you know what? When your country wants you and needs you as badly as Argentina does, he can't say no to them. So, yeah, you're right. He'll play for the next World Cup.
Isn't it weird? That's why we watch sports, because mathematically it makes sense. You have the best players and you pay them the most amount of money, you're going to win. Doesn't work for the Yankees. Dolphins, Tua, Waddle, Tyreek, Jalen Ramsey, Mike McDaniel. Great players. All got paid. We're at 2-6, hoping to win tonight and keep our season alive. Doesn't work. That's why we watch sports. You never know. Although
it wasn't all bad. At least the Heat won over the weekend, the Panthers over the weekend, and the Heat won without Jimmy because Jimmy never plays against Minnesota. never plays against Minnesota, had the ankle issue. Nikola Jovic gets the game winner, the layup in the end one after being benched. How about that, Spo, pressing the right buttons? You put the man on the bench, he comes through for you in a big way, gets the winner.
So we do have some positivity, and maybe tonight we can be positive about the Dolphins as they go into L.A. and possibly, just possibly, get a win.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.